47. I feel pressure because there's preachers in a house tonight. Pastor Mark Ritchie, Swansea, and always nervous. Mark Hind as well, Open Doors. We'll be looking to partner with Open Doors in the future through this fellowship. So if I have to change my sermon, make sure it's a bit better than it was before standing up. Oh, it's so hot outside. I suppose you're wanting just a quick sermon so you can go and enjoy the Scottish sunset. I thought I'd get a few amens with that. Great to see everybody coming to church with our shorts on. I would love to come to church with shorts on, but I wouldn't want my legs to distract for the message. Like a sparrow, the last time you seen legs like this, they were hanging out a nest. Okay, we're speaking this morning about really swimming in the ocean of God, and just what Nathan had been sharing in Paul's dream as well. You just can. Sometimes you just can. This is the word of the Lord. We will get back onto 1 John. Elsa's sharing next week. We'll get back onto 1 John sometime after this. Ezekiel 47, it is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And when I had just read it this week, I just thought, wow, isn't it amazing that the Bible is alive, isn't it? Like, it's not just some words on a book to try and help us live. This is Holy Spirit breathed, and when you read it through the lens of the Holy Spirit, you just get wow moments. In the start of this week, oh, by the way, if I went through a battle, if you were here last week, I was only went through a battle this week. Monday was a battle day for me. In fact, I went to bed on Monday night. I said to Isabel, I'm just going to forget this day ever existed. And I would appreciate it if God did the same. I said, that's just what happens, didn't I? I said, that's what happens when you have a good Sunday service and you speak about battles and you speak about gaining territory for the Lord. But Tuesday morning, dust yourself off, hear the devotional time that you need to hear, worship King Jesus, get back on track once again. So we're on Ezekiel 47. In my vision, I love vision, but my fear is that we relegate it to something else when we speak about, have you got a vision for your life? Biblical vision was like an open heaven experience and the seeing into the spirit. And sometimes we just take it on the human fleshly sense, oh, if you've got a vision for your life, or basically a sense of, is it planned for your life? I want to maybe get a qualification that I like, get a job that I like, maybe meet somebody that I like, get married, and hopefully I like my wife once I marry her. That's like plans, it's good plans, but vision, proper biblical vision. I'm praying for a proper biblical vision for me, for this fellowship and this church, something that fit the Spirit is saying in the moment. It says, in my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. The title of this message is From the Service to the Streets. It's about shining your light out with us four was that we are blessed to call our home in 29 Grattan Place. And it's great being able to experience God to a degree in here, isn't it? Like, it's just easy to worship. There's breakthrough happening. People are coming along, getting saved, getting set free. But yet, it cannot and shouldn't be our contend in this place that we're going to have to shine our lights out there. But this is a good place to start, because what happens here is this. Ezekiel was taken to the entrance of the temple. In the New Testament, the temple is also the church. We come together as living stones, as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Also, we are temples of the Holy Spirit ourselves. But he took me to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door. The Doric translation says it was seeping through the door. Seeping through the door. There's a river seeping for the temple through the door. If I was believing for a day that the Holy Spirit would move through the door, like seep through the door at 29 Grattan Place. Through the door, passing to the right side of the altar on the south side, the man brought me outside the wall through the north gateway and led me around to the eastern entrance. There I could see the water flowing out It's a water that flows out through the south side of the east gateway. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, which is approximately a third of a mile. So the man led him a third of a mile, and then he walked across the supernatural river. It's a heavenly river. Nothing else was flowing in it. Led me across. The water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again. This time, the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist. Then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to walk across. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. I've written this not like a proper sermon. I was just getting notes, and so I was just writing them as they were coming to me. Who do you like swimming here? As a fit swimmers. Nae me, we'll go and hold a son will be out, Isabel will be doing lengths, and she'll come out, Ken. I've did 37 lengths. I've did 37 lengths between here and the food and drink hut. I'm back and forth. I've never been great at swimming, but this is a story about a man that was getting led for the temple, and it was getting deeper. This river, the supernatural river, went from his ankle to his waist, and so much so that he couldn't even cross it on foot, that he had to swim. We are looking for a day here that the Holy Spirit just takes control of our fellowship, that we as believers are not just ankle deep, but if you're ankle deep, that's fine. If you're just here testing and seeing, as Darren read that verse last week, just to test and see that the Lord is good, then that is fine. But our heart is to go deeper. Our heart is to go swimming. Our heart is to go with the river of Jesus Christ. But the challenge is this. It's got to go for the service to the street. If a move of God is restricted to this place, if it is birthed in here and remains here, what I tell you, it will die here as well. And we have got to look at us through new lenses, that we only want to restrict or just enjoy Jesus for 2 hours on a Sunday, but we want to see him explode out where this four was. Faz Wima. We are living in a season of blessing, but we don't want this blessing just to remain here. But we want to go wherever God takes us. If we try and restrict things to a Sunday, we only give ourselves 2 hours to do a lot of work, or 3 hours. If I want to see the lost saved, we can't restrict it to 3 hours on a Sunday, or else you're putting a lot of reliance on if it happens here, and praise God that folk did get saved on a Sunday. But you're putting half an expectation on if it happens here, because we don't just want to see the lost saved. If I want to see the sick made well, well, if we just contain it to, we'll bring somebody that's sick and hopefully the preacher will preach or maybe a word of knowledge and maybe they'll get made well. If we restrict it, we give ourselves a little couple of hours to do a lot of work for the kingdom of God. But I believe that God wants to bless us so much in this fellowship, so much we need to see it move for the service out to the street. He said, I seen a vision, and there was a river flowing through, seeping through the temple. I think in a Western church, we have made it about the temple and getting people into the temple. We'll do what we can just to get people here, but God is birthing something within his people that said, I want to take the kingdom to the people. The far the people are, the far the highways and byways are at in this community. If when you think, the fan of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, it says the Holy Spirit fell and Peter and the disciples were in the upper room. 3,000 men got saved, women and kids as well. Listen, if that was us today, would I say to Peter, why do you not just stick around in this upper room for a weekend? We'll get banners. And we'll cut out revival services. We'll cut ourselves a church of Pentecost for the day. Peter, could you stick around just for a weekend? We'll advertise it well on Facebook. We'll sell Thursday night meetings, Friday night meetings, Saturday night meetings, two meetings on a Sunday and one on a Monday. And Peter, we'll give you £1,000 for that, and you could take the rest of the week off after that because you'll be very, very tired. And please come back the week after, and we'll do the exact same again. That's what would happen. But it had to start some way. But it had to move some way as well. And the momentum of the Holy Spirit was this. It had to go. And as it went, it gathered momentum. As it went through the temple, it got deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. The more that they went, the more that they were sent, the more that they preached, this gospel started in the upper room over 2,000 years ago. And here we are, 2,000 years later, 29 Grattan Place, because of something that happened in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Fact is that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been moving with severe momentum, and it's getting deeper, it's getting wider, and it's getting... It hasn't trickled out, and it's now fading flower. But the momentum of the kingdom was to move. And I believe, people, we need to pray for a supernatural boldness upon our lives. To take what happens here in our relationship with Jesus and what we encounter here, to see it come through this service to the streets. And it's what Paul was speaking on. His dream about going through this portal of flags and moving through this into workplaces and raising up a generation that will see miracles, nay, just expecting miracles when we come together on a Sunday, but expecting kingdom miracles. Far we go in our places of work, in our places of influence. The momentum of the kingdom seep through the doors. And our heart cry and our prayer is, God, would you bless us, but may it may remain here. But may it go for 29 Grattan Place, and may the Spirit move freely through this place. Would it be amazing if people in Grattan Place started to see miracles just because we was here? If you read the history of revivals, it was never contained to just a place. The people out in the streets would hear the angels sing. People would be drawn to a place because of what they experienced out there in the world, in the darkest of places, a light would shine and God would turn up. We're looking for a day as we were worshiping in here, that 31 Grattan Place will encounter something of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The 27 Grattan Place will encounter something of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Imagine a report that as they were sleeping, they heard angels sing. If it was happening in the temple, couldn't they be contained in the temple? But it had to go. And as the people got evangelistic and missional, it got deeper and it got wider to a place that the river was just gushing and people couldn't stand in it no longer. You still with me? Often we look at the kingdom as like an kind of Amazon. It's Amazon weekend. I kind of lot has been spending money out this weekend. But we see it as like a distribution center. We just gather all the stuff and we distribute it. We'll get a little power air. We'll get anointing air here and everywhere. And it becomes about the temple that we just give stuff out. We'll give the poor. If they come, we'll maybe see people healed. But through this vision, I was really challenged that we should see it more as an avalanche that gathers momentum and gets stronger. You see how a snowball gets, the more you push it, the bigger it goes, and the farther it goes, the bigger it gets. I'm praying for a momentum like that, that we would be fireballs in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And as we as a company of people would pursue the lost for they are at, we would see the momentum of the kingdom grow. And we'd see a depth of the Spirit like we've never seen before. An And the temple would still be a great place to come and get refueled and get recharged, but we would care that we'd be shining our lights out with the temple. Some of you have been here and been growing in the Lord long enough that you should be exercising your gifts of the Holy Spirit out with these four words, which is always a scary thought for any Christian. That's why we need to pray for boldness. But I believe that's where the momentum's at. Because some of you in here carry the gift of discernment. And we want to see this gifts operate when we meet. But we also want to see them operate out with church services. Some of you have the gift of prophecy and words of knowledge. But we do not just want to see them in operation in a Sunday between 10:30, 12:30, and sometimes goes beyond 1 o'clock. But we want to see them in operation out where these four was. And I'm praying that one day we'll hear testimony upon testimony of people that have seen miracles out with here. And they will say, I was sitting next to somebody on a bus or my work colleague, and I felt as though the Lord was saying this to this person. I had no other knowledge but for King Jesus downloading it into my spirit. And when I shared it with them, they started to cry and give their hearts to Jesus. It's as it went for the temple, for the services to the streets, that has gotten to gather momentum. And I believe that we are experiencing is growth in the kingdom, a depth in the kingdom, and some of you are just ready to swim, and some of you are just ready to go for it, and some of you are just, you're just new Christians, and you are going to feel a depth in the Holy Spirit that has taken years for others to achieve. Because it works like us, the fathers, the mothers in the faith, we've been tarrying for this for years in a secret place. We've been believing for a move of the Holy Spirit for years. Come on, them that's been long enough to stick around. And I believe that the new generation that will come up, see the river, it wasn't a day with time. It wasn't a day where after half an hour, it went for the uncles to the west, and after another half an hour, it's not a time thing. It's a who far you want to go thing. And who far you want to go depends on who far you want to go quick as you want to go. So as we as a body of believers start experiencing the moving of the Holy Spirit as a normal and here, people are going to get saved quicker and they're going to experience for it is to move in the power of the Holy Spirit quicker than for the fathers did. Is this making sense? Like, the new believers are going to ride upon a wave that was created for the fathers and the mothers of the faith. And that excites me. Because I want to see people coming in here or that we meet in the streets that didn't believe get saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost straight away, speaking in tongues, baptized in water, and sent out as missionaries full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a deal with time. It was to deal with motion, momentum, and how far he was being led. And as far as you want to go, it's up to you. And maybe you've just tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and that's all you want, and it's up to the uncles, and that's as far as you really want to go. But if you have tested and seen something of the goodness of God, you might say, I want to go really far. I want to go deep. Until a point that you lose control. You'll always be in control because it's always up to you. God has given us free will. But people, he got to a point, he says, I can't walk across this no longer. I have to swim. There comes a point, this is for us as leaders as well, that all you want is just to lose control of Jesus. That's all you want to do. And you want to be moved for he is moving. And you want to go for he puts you. and you want to see the things that he wants to see in your life, and you maybe started on this journey with all your agendas, all your hang-ups, all your cares of the world, all your plans, all the things that you thought was going to work out in your life. And then you come to a point of, God, I am yours. I'm losing control. And I'm undone in the kingdom of God. And my plan is to be here for the next 5 years and 10 years and set up a little retirement home for myself, 15 Williams Crescent. My plan is this: God, wherever you take me, I will follow. Going back to life without the river is not an option. Going back to life just ankle deep is not an option. God, I want to be swept away in the Pentecostal fire of your love. And that's an adventure. That's a reality. I believe people are going to start catching this quick, and they're going to want the reality of the Holy Spirit. They've got to be desperate for the moving of the Holy Spirit, and they've got to come for atheists to be saved, and then so desperate for the move of the Holy Spirit, they're willing to surrender their lives quickly, and they'll start making relationship choices quickly, and they'll lay down our lifestyles quickly, and they'll get baptized in the real fire of the Holy Spirit quickly. And they'll maybe see things that them, it's been hanging around church for 15 years, haven't they yet seen? But they'll carry, and they'll want to be found in the river of God. It's a momentum of the kingdom. Freely give, because freely have received. The more we give away, the deeper we go, the more that we will see. We have got to change our view of Christianity for being service-oriented. Simply being service-oriented. To want to see a move of God on the streets. It went from the temple to the streets. To be swept off our feet. I believe that Jesus is doing a new thing in our midst. Just speaking to different people, they're catching it that God is doing a new thing in our midst. We've got to see people birthed and lived according to the river. Are you excited to see what the river did? Because we've never even seen what the river did yet. And it goes on to explain what the river does. But it says this in verse 6. He asked me, have you been watching, son of man? Have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the river back. When I returned, I was surprised. You see, the focus is never the miracles. The focus is getting saturated in Jesus Christ and going as deep we am as he allows you to be. And it says that he went back and he was surprised. Far's up for getting surprised by what Jesus does through a company of people that will be found surrendered to him in the river. The affection of your heart and spiritual being is not to be the miracles. It's to be Jesus Christ. And it was when he went to the surrendering point, he says, then I was led back and I was surprised to see what the river had done. I've seen the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Then he says to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. A miracle that there was fish to be found in the Dead Sea and it was fresh and pure. I've never been yet, but I want to go. My granny's been to see the Dead Sea. You can't why it's called the Dead Sea. There's nothing's alive on it. It's so salty that life kind of flourish within it. But here was a miracle of grace through the river. That for the river touched, the Dead Sea became pure and fresh so that life could flourish once again. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea, for its waters will become fresh. Dead things become alive. Hope of the gospel, resurrection power, that which was once had a reputation for being dead, now was flourishing with life, and there was trees, and the silty waters had become pure. People, if we would take what happens in the service to the streets, we will see reputations change in this community. People that have reputations for death, a community that has a reputation to be ravaged by drug addiction, can be known for being a place that dead things come to life. And as we take the gospel and they just contain it in 29 Grand Place, which is a place of light, but we'll take our recharged batteries and our torch to shine in dark places, we will see miracles. We will see that which is a reputation for being dead, for being stricken off without hope. We will see them become pure. We'll see them transform before our very eyes. We'll see brokenness become whole. We'll see lost things being found. We'll see them that are sitting in darkness on this summer's day, see a great light shine upon them. The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea simply because it's a reputation that nothing flourishes within it. Can the Broch in the northeast of Scotland be again a beacon of the gospel of Jesus Christ? By a company of people that would say, I'm all in, I'm surrendering all. And then I'll see the miracles. But your affection is near because you're a cool dude that likes to see miracles. A lot of people like to see miracles, but your affection is to be found in Jesus Christ. He is the river. And we, our joy is we get to partner with him to see miracles. Because this river is happening whether you get in or you remain to be on the sidelines. You didn't stop the move of God. You get to be part of it. The question today for the church is never, is God moving on the planet? The question is always, are you moving with him? Because I'm pretty sure God is moving anyway, regardless of if I'm in or if I'm out or if I'm in a bad day or a good day. God is moving in power through the globe. And the question is, are we going to go all in for what he is doing? Or will we just be comfortable going into our uncles? But the miracles, dead things coming alive. And then it goes on for there. There will be swarms of living, still in verse 9, of living things wherever the water at this river flows. Fish will abound in the Dead Sea. The waters will become fresh. Life will flourish wherever it flows. People, if that doesn't get you excited, we might as well close the doors and call time in this hell, Think God Church right now. If wherever the river flows, life, the Zoe life, the full life, Jesus says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have fit life and life in all its fullness. Jesus is light, and he is life, and forever he went, and forever he put his feet. He brought a demonstration of kingdom power. He brought the river, and dead things started to pop up and be alive. He went to a widow that had just lost her one and only son. She felt as though she lost everything, and there was a funeral procession or deadness. Under the law, he couldn't have done what he was about to do. Under the law was this: do not touch a dead body. For if you touch a dead body, the dead body, the curse went on to you, and you would be unclean. And we have got to realize that light trumps darkness. There's no battle when you go into a dark room when you light a match. I wonder if it's gotten to one. Will darkness overpower the match? Oh, let's pray about it. Young Nathan doesn't have to have a battle when he's shining his torch in dark places now. Come on. And the battle belongs to the Lord. And what Jesus brought was resurrection, kingdom, power. And he went and he told the funeral procession, stop in your tracks. Now, if this didn't work, he would have looked like somebody that was totally crazy. He stopped the whole funeral procession on its tracks, touched the coffin, touched the boy, and he came alive. What a precious thing for that mother. What a precious thing for that widow that thought that she'd lost everything. And you've got to ask yourself a question, does God care about you and your family? And fit dead things, does he want to come alive within your life and within this community? But this should excite us that life will flourish wherever this water flows. That if you've got a river, a God within you, you've got within you to see a river flow forever you go and to see life flourish forever you go. And the momentum of the kingdom is as we are keen to go far and reach out for this temple, we will see, thank you, John, we will see the river of God flow and do miracles and flourish forever we ticket. Come on, people, this isn't just for a one or two. Forever we ticket. In this community, forever we ticket. We have got the opportunity to see life flow. And evangelists, you need to get ready, evangelists. I can't run out some way. Because God says that he's gifted the church, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles. And they're found in this place. That wasn't to the universal church, that was for fellowships. So I can you are in here some way. I can that evangelists are in here, apostles are in here, preachers, teachers are in here as well. Evangelists are a fisherman. They gather the people in. I better make good use of it, John, when it is white today. Bless you. It's always uncomfortable taking drinks in front of a crowd of people that's expecting you to speak. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea. Fishermen. Jesus says to Peter, you'll no longer fish for fish. You'll fish for people. And evangelists, get ready. Fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea. I pray that we come into a season that we will see salvation quickly. And we might pray people in the kingdom and we've lived in for years. But I believe if we move in the power of the Holy Spirit out where this four was, we will see them come to faith quicker than you can realize. And we really need to mobilize the evangelists. For it says, fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea all the way from Engadi to Eneglam. The shores will be covered with nets, drying in the sun. They're ready for a catch. Are you ready? Are we ready as a fellowship for souls to get saved? Are we ready to welcome him? Are we ready to disciple him? Are we ready to love him farther at? It says, because they had dried their nets on the shore. They were ready. They were expectant. If they wasn't expectant, they wouldn't have thrown their nets out. But by the fact that they've got their nets out, they were expecting people to get saved. We should live in a why out with this four was that we are expecting people to get saved forever we go. Evangelists, get ready. We need to see what happens in the service burst forth through the streets, and when it goes to the streets, we've got to have to get ready with our nets. And we might have to call in our partners in the gospel to see people get discipled, as we've seen Peter hinted deep with Andrew back in the Gospel Times. Fish of every kind will fill the Dead Sea. I'm going to finish in just a moment. Fish of every kind, just as they filled the Mediterranean. We went for Dead Sea life. Now we went to the Mediterranean life. Fish of every kind. Every kind. We are not a church for just one type of person. Marlon Harley used to say, we've got to be for the bank robber as well as the bank manager. Okay? The drug addict and the doctor. We are starting a teen challenge. We have placement next week. But we are not just interested in people with life controlling problems. We are interested in the doctor that's lost. We are interested in a lawyer and a solicitor that's hopelessly lost for the gospel. We've got to be a people that's for every kind. We should never be a church just for young people. We should never be a church just that caters for the other people. We should be a church that's looking to reach out with this four was to every kind of fish. Young all, black, white, educated, uneducated, life-controlling problems going well in life. Jesus is for you. And we need to carry that heart onto the streets and our workplaces. We want an idea how much Jesus loves the people that we meet and come in contact with, the fish that are just ready to be saved and set free. Out with this four was. God loves them with an everlasting love, and he laid his life down on the cross for them, that they might be saved, and without him, without Jesus, they're going to a lost eternity. We're looking for every type of fish to know Jesus, every type of person to know Jesus, whether they're from the Philippines, whether they're local, the Belgals, or is that in heaven. Speaking as dialect, a different dialect, we maybe have to learn a new language to win some Eastern Europeans. Every type of fish, people, come on. Every type of fish was found in this river. I believe if we just look with a scripture, with a kingdom mind, we will see great hope for the gospel. The message will not just be contained, and God will not be contained. Of course, he cannot be contained in this four was, but fit we do here and the preciousness of fit we experience as we meet together, we must leave here praying and moving in such a way to surrender to Jesus fully and bring blessing and life to our community and our nation. Do you mind the vision? We didn't often go back to this, but the Jean Darnell vision that fire was to fit spread. Now, if you're for the northeast of Scotland, it spread for the northeast of Scotland, right? If you're for the north of Scotland and the Highlands, it came for the north of Scotland. It came for the Highlands. But the purpose was and the vision was that it gathered momentum and it spread. And as it goes for a temple, for places of worship, for a people that have surrendered in a river, it is going to spread like wildfire. And lots of people are going to get saved. Fish of every kind. Okay. Totally lost for a map. I'm sure you get the picture. I can miss out the next bit. But that would be selective of biblical reading. Because there's so much amazing stuff happening, it'd be good to end there. But then verse 11, I didn't really like sort of ending on a tone like this. Fruit trees. It says, verse 11, there's a little verse there that I would love to miss out, but I can't possibly do that. But the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be swampy, still be salty. And then it goes back onto the good news. Fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. You can't something Even in the greatest revivals the world has ever seen, there are still just some things that get untouched. That there remain impure, hardness to heart, that I guess it's what Jesus said about the spreading of the seed. It just gets choked out. But we kind of stop spreading the seed because sometimes it just doesn't happen. And there's just a warning in there that we want to see revival, but at the same time, nobody's got to get saved. We've got to be a church that's open to all, but at the same time, some things and some people, they just kind of remain untouched. But can't stop us preaching. It can't stop us laying hands on the sick. Somebody says to Apostle Paul, "You almost convinced me of the gospel." And he'd spent days with Paul. He says, "You almost convinced me." He says, "I was almost there, but I'm going to remain untouched." And so it is with the gospel. The marshes and swamps will not be purified. It can still be salty. There will always be a religious spirit to contend with. We've got to get the worship band up. We are speaking about a river. And that river is, or is at least, connected to Jesus. And I honor what happens when we come together. I honor what God is doing and He is raising up people. Honor the worship band, the leadership team, the person at the door. Sets up communion, sets up seats. We honor what God is doing here and want to see more. But we don't want it to end here. We want to see it, God, come for this place, to the streets. And it will come through people, including you, to come and to go deep quick. And to make a declaration to be saturated in Jesus Christ. To lay down our lives. See, from the rivers up to your ankles, it doesn't demand so much for you. You've still got so much control. And it's up to your waist. You've still got so much control and movement. But when you kind of move no longer on that river, you've laid down every agenda. You've forgiven everybody that needs to be forgiven. You've become a new creation and all you want is Jesus. Then you will move and be led by the Holy Spirit. That is our divine right as sons of the Most High God. We love Romans 8. Romans 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. We love this bit that says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, Spirit gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death." Far rejoices our that words. There is no longer any condemnation if you are in Christ Jesus. But then it goes on. "But what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. In us, them that live under no condemnation, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. True sons of the Most High God, no condemnation. The righteousness of God imparted unto us, our sin unto Him, but who live no longer according to what we want and what we desire, but to accordance to the river of God, the Spirit of Christ. Let's stand in His presence. If you want to put yourself in a posture of surrender, then you raise your hands. The word has went forth. The dream has went forth. The prophetic word about shining our light out with here has went forth. The teaching has went forth. And now we expect the river of Christ to come. But it'll be through us in a posture of surrender and thirsting after Him. To take this gospel of good news for a service on Sundays. To take the presence of Jesus, encountering the Lord for services on Sundays. To let flow into the streets. Of this community. We need to take this into our homes. Be thirsty for Jesus in our homes. As we are from become as a fellowship. It's not unthinkable for you to bring a fire of Jesus to your place of dwelling and for your neighbors to catch the fire. It's not unthinkable that our homes would be places of heavenly encounters. Open heavens with Jesus Christ. Let's put ourselves in a posture of surrender. Let's worship King Jesus. Let's be found in the river. Let's move with the Holy Spirit. And God, we just simply say we are done with religion. We are done, we've simply gone in. Ankle deep. Would you cause this river to burst forth over our lives? Jesus says, whoever comes and thirsts after me, rivers. Nae droplets. Nae sparks flying, but rivers of living water. Flow fair within you, bringing life, a river that comes for you, that brings hope, a river that would see dead things become alive, a river that would see your family turn to Christ. Jesus. Let's worship Him. If you need to respond, respond in your NY. If you need to leave your seats and come to the front, respond in your NY. Let's be desperate for Jesus. Let's go further. Let's go quicker.